Praise the Lord. Just ask that you would continue in prayer for Christine and I as we prepare to leave for Romania 2 weeks today. We'll be going after the morning service. We're booked on the ferry at midnight from Dover to Dunkirk, and then begins the long drive across Europe. We're hoping to be with Jon Ellen Anka by Thursday evening. And then we'll spend the weekend with them. I know for a fact that we're going back to Kapa Kozroloy, the village that we've ministered in the past 2 years. And then we'll set off again on the Tuesday morning, hopefully to be back by Friday the following. So we'll only be missing for 1 weekend. So just pray into that. All the stuff is arriving wonderfully. The Lord is providing, as he always does. We've probably got about 3/4 of a trailer load now. And I'm just trusting that in the next week or so the trailer will be overflowing. Hallelujah. Before we go. So it would be wonderful to... next Sunday, of course, is Easter Sunday. And the children will be having family service. And we'll have the puppets, we're having the choir, we'll have all kinds of things going on next Sunday morning. So do make every effort to be with us. And then it would be lovely to see you all the Sunday after to pray us out as we go. And so we'd appreciate that very much. Turn with me this morning to Luke's Gospel. I've actually got some notes this morning, so you're in trouble. Hallelujah. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. A very familiar passage of Scripture to many of you. We're going to read from verse 38. And a title, never used to give titles to messages, but now that Joe does them on the internet, we need a title. Otherwise, poor Joe has to dream one up. So the title this morning would be The Walk of Stillness. Now there's a contradiction in terms to start with. The Walk of Stillness. If you're walking, you're not still. And if you're still, you're not walking. But in God, in Christ this morning, standing on those promises, there is a walk of stillness. Hallelujah. Now, our first reading this morning is taken from Luke 10 and verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. That village, incidentally, was Bethany, which is what our church is named after. Somebody asked me once, why is the church called Bethany? Well, I couldn't really answer why the church was called Bethany because I wasn't here when the church was named. But my answer off the top of my head was, well, Bethany was a place where Jesus liked to be. And very often Jesus visited the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus in Bethany. And so it's good enough for me. Amen. The place where Jesus liked to be. That'll do us. And so he came to the village where the woman Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better, and it will not be taken away from her. That statement there that Martha made to Jesus always strikes me. Lord, don't you care? Wow. Martha knew the Lord, but she didn't know he cared. That's sad, isn't it? She knew the Lord, but she didn't know he cared. Don't you care? And I trust this morning that you all know of the care of Christ for you. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Praise the Lord. No one cared like Jesus. There is none like him. Amen. He cares this morning. But Martha had not grasped this. She was too busy in service to understand the care of the Lord. How sad. Now, as we read through these scriptures this morning, please don't think that I am preaching against the idea of serving the Lord, because you know that that's not right. We have to serve the Lord. That's why we're here. That's why the church is on the earth, is to serve the Lord. Amen. To fulfill the purposes of God for each one of us in our generation, to walk in the good works that are preordained that we should walk in them. We are here to serve the Lord as light and salt, as we said earlier, as witnesses, as testifying to the grace of God in our own lives and doing the works of Christ, and greater works than these shall you do. And so we are expected to serve the Lord. We were talking in our house group on Tuesday night about the talents and about, you know, whether you've got one talent, five talents or 10 talents, God expects you to use those talents. Amen. And use them well and produce a crop. By their fruits shall you know them. And so in no way am I preaching against work. We are not saved by our works, but we are saved to work, hallelujah, to do the works of Christ. As the Apostle Paul teaches, we're his hands, we're his feet, we're his mouthpiece, we're his legs. Wherever we go, Christ goes. If we don't go, Christ doesn't go. Amen? We are the body of Christ on this earth. And so we need to work. The Bible says, work while it is still day, because the night comes when no man can work. So this is our time to work. But if it's all works and all service, then where does our strength come from? And that scripture has been going through my mind over the last few days. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. We have to wait. You see, we have to walk, but we also have to be still. And sometimes we have to do the two things together. To be working from stillness and rest. The Apostle Paul teaches us that there is a rest for the people of God that the people of Israel missed out on because they wouldn't enter in to the promises of God. They missed out on the rest that God had prepared for them. And there is a rest prepared for you and I that God wants us to live in. And here we see this example of Martha, who knew the Lord but was so busy about her preparations that she really didn't know that he cared. And we see Mary, who was just so pleased that Jesus had come into her home that all she wanted to do was sit and listen to him and gaze at him. And Jesus said, she has chosen the better part. You see, the preparations can wait when Jesus comes. Hallelujah. I believe it's so, so important that when the church comes together, that we make every effort to be there. Because it's in times like this that God speaks to his people, encourages his people through a prophecy, through a prayer, through a reading, through a preaching, through whatever method he chooses to do so, that God speaks to his church. You see, the church is where the fivefold ministry of Christ can be revealed. Now, we can have that at home to a certain degree. You know, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst there to bless, praise the Lord. But there's something unique and pre-planned and ordained of God when the people of God come together and he releases the gifts and the ministries that are contained within us, and we bless one another, we edify one another, we build one another up. And these times are so important, times of rest, so that we can work from a position of rest. Amen. You see, what are the many tasks that fill our lives in these days and keep us so busy? Some of them are very legitimate things that must be done, can't be left. But others, if we were to sit down and really examine our life, some of them are really time wasters and keep us away from the things of God. We have to be wise, don't we? Have to be wise. Are there things today in your life that are keeping you from spending time sitting at the feet of the Lord and just receiving his grace? Perhaps it would be a good time now just to say, Lord, I acknowledge that I'm not always as diligent about stillness as I am about service. And just for this hour, hour and a half, when we come together on a Sunday morning, and times when we withdraw on our own throughout the week, we need to say, Lord, liberate us from distractions. Take away the cares and the worries of this life, so that just for this time we can sit at your feet as Mary did and gaze at your face and receive your word into our hearts. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Paying attention to him. You know, these times of fellowship are a precious gift from the Lord. And it's something that we should heed to, pay attention to, and receive it gladly. Say amen. Quietening our soul, our spirit, our mind, in the presence of God. And just listening. Listening for the Lord. Amen. Yes, we have busy lives, and life seems to be getting busier and busier and busier. And yet the Lord still says, I want to fellowship with you, like I fellowshiped with Adam in the cool of the garden. You know, the first question God asked of Adam was, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Because God had come to fellowship with Adam, and Adam wasn't there to be found when the time of fellowship came. You see, there's a time for action. There's a time for works. There's a time to be doing. There's a time to be being all we can for Jesus. there's also a time of stillness to refresh the spirit. If we're constantly giving out, ministering, pouring out, and never taking in, never being refilled, then we end up burnt out and empty. And I know many people who have ended up prematurely burnt out because they never took the time to rest, both spiritually and physically. We need to rest. Amen. We need to do that. So there's a time for action. There's a time to be still. Bible says there's a time for every season under heaven. Amen. Time to be doing, but a time to be receiving. We're not very good, the English, at receiving. We prefer to be the giver, don't we? We prefer to be the one who's giving out rather than the one on the receiving end. And yet the Lord had to say to his disciples one day, let's come aside for a while. Come aside for a while. And even Jesus himself would go, the Bible says, before the break of dawn. And he would get out and find a place of stillness where he could talk to his Father and receive from his Father. Hallelujah. Now then, go right back into the Old Testament, into the book of Kings, 1 Kings. See, we've got to leave the world outside, and we've got to sit with the Lord for a while. Amen? We should have two notices. One over the door there that says you are now entering the mission field. So that when we go out, we know where we're going. Hallelujah. But we should have another notice on the other side of the door that we read as we're coming in that should say, sit still and listen. Amen. Sit still for a while. Sit with me, the Lord says. Come and dine. The Master calls, come and dine. This is our dining room with Jesus, amen. I shall come in to him and eat with him. That's the promise. This is our dining room where we take on our spiritual food. And so when we come through that door, our determination should be to leave the world outside and say, I've come to sit with the Master, I've come to dine. Hallelujah. And then as we go out spiritually refreshed and blessed and challenged, moved on in our faith so that we can be effective in our service for the King. Now in 1 Kings 19, you know, those of you who know your scriptures know where we're going here. Here's Elijah, this mighty man, who calls fire down from heaven to burn the sacrifice, slays the prophets of Baal, does all these mighty, mighty things. And then a woman called Jezebel, who was one servant of Satan, threatened Elijah that by the morning she was going to kill him. I mean, he's taken on 800, whatever, the false prophets, he's slain them all. Fire's fallen from the sky. And now comes the voice of a woman who threatens him with death, and Elijah takes off running. Doesn't make sense, but you see, You can't work out the human psyche. You can't work it out, can you? And he takes off a running. In verse 3, if you don't believe me, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. And he begins this process where God is chasing him. And the angel comes and feeds him and strengthens him for the journey, and he's off and running again. The angel comes back a second time, eat and drink, for the journey's too much, and he's off again. Finally, we get down to verse 9. It says he comes to the mountain of Horeb, and in verse 9, there he went into a cave and spent the night. Now, I'm pleased to read those previous verses, although we haven't read them, we've talked about them, because God knows the way and God has already made provision for the way. Hallelujah. Two encounters with angels were needed to get Elijah from Jezebel to Horeb. And God had already provided the provision that Elijah needed. Amen. Even though Elijah was doing what he shouldn't have done, God still looked after him. And the provision of God is there for you and I. And it says, and the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous. And he had. Very zealous. For the Lord God Almighty, the Israelites have rejected your covenant, broke down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. All his rest had gone. All his peace had been taken away, and his power in God had evaporated because of the threat of Jezebel. I don't know. Maybe he'd done too much. We don't know. But whatever had happened to Elijah, he'd gone from victory to despair in a matter of hours. From this fantastic victory to despair and dejection just within a few hours. And finally he reaches the mountain, hides in the cave, and God speaks to him the same thing really that he spoke to Adam. Where are you? What are you doing? Why are you here? What's this all about? And the Lord said in verse 11, go out, stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Wow. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Now Elijah had already seen the fire of God fall on that altar and consume everything. Even it says it licked up the dust in the trench. Such was the power of the fire of God. He'd seen fire from heaven before. And what do we see in these three scriptures? We see the power of God. We see the majesty, the might, the overwhelming authority and power of God that sends the wind that is so strong, it tears rocks apart. It sends an earthquake to level everything, and then it sends the fire to consume the lot. And so we see the power of Almighty God. And Elijah is there at the mouth of the cave. Well, he was watching from within the cave, and he could hear the destruction and the power that was going on outside, and he knew that God was passing by. He could feel the works of God. He was experiencing the power of God. And then it says that after the fire came a gentle whisper. Praise the Lord. You see, in these three verses here, we see that God is both all-powerful but gentle. Amen. All-powerful but gentle. And perhaps Elijah was expecting the voice to come from the wind. The apostles knew that on the day of Pentecost, the wind of God. Perhaps Elijah was expecting God to speak from the earthquake, or perhaps through the fire, because he knew God had answered him by fire before and would again, if you read the story of Elijah. But it wasn't in those things. It wasn't in the power. It wasn't in the might. It wasn't in the force. It was in a still small voice, the Authorized Bible says. A gentle whisper, the NIV says. And the gentleness of God comes and asks him the same question again. What are you doing, Elijah? What are you doing? See, don't limit the ways in which God can speak to you. Don't say, well, God spoke to me this way before, so he must do it again. See, God had answered by fire before in Elijah's life, but he wasn't going to do it again, not at this point in time. He was going to speak in a completely different way, a way that Elijah needed to hear. Don't limit the way that God can speak to you. Be listening. And if he's not in the fire and he's not in the earthquake and he's not in the wind, be listening. Which way is he going to speak to me? How's he going to speak to me? But take time to listen. And it was only in verse 13 there, we read when Elijah heard it, that is the gentle whisper, not the earthquake, not the fire, not the wind, but when he heard the whisper, he came and he stood in the mouth of the cave and he listened to the voice of God. That's what he needed at that time, and God ministered to him. Hallelujah. A gentle whisper. A place of stillness. In the midst of hectic activity, in the midst of power and might and the display of the glory of God, there was a gentle whisper and a stillness that Elijah needed to hear before he could carry on with his ministry. Thank God this morning that he is both powerful and gentle. Amen. He is both powerful and gentle. Let him speak to us at this time in whatever way it pleases him. Don't say, Lord, it has to be this way, it has to be that way. Whatever way it pleases God to use, let him speak into our life. Be listening for the gentle whisper of the Lord. Time have we got? Need to move quickly here. Acts chapter 4. It's the story of John and Peter when they were called before the rulers, the Sanhedrin, to give account of their faith. After healing the crippled man, the beggar. Let's read from verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, and there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Praise the Lord. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. You see, the roots of the ministry was the relationship. Amen. The roots of the ministry, of the work, came out of relationship. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. They that know their God. And it's only when we know God, we know in whom we have believed, and we've spent time getting to know Him and drawing from Him, that we can do the works of Christ. They were first called Christians at Antioch because they did the things that Christ did. And here the people looked at Peter and John and they saw the works of Christ. And they said, they've been with Jesus. They've spent time with Jesus. And you see, the presence of Jesus takes ordinary people and makes them extraordinary. And if we want to be extraordinary today, we need to spend the time with the Lord. In proportion to our outgoing must be our incoming. Hallelujah. They had been with Jesus. And its roots were relationship. See, thank God this morning, it's not cleverness, but intimacy that counts with the Lord. It's not how good I am, it's how good He is. It's not what I can do, it's what He can do. I said to you many years ago when I first got to know Lewis Palau, and Lewis Palau said, I suddenly realized after years of ministry, of having some success in ministry, I suddenly realized it's not what I can do, it's what He can do through me. And that revolutionized his approach to everything that he did. He suddenly realized it's not what I can do for him, it's what He can do through me. And it's out of relationship with Christ that we work. Amen. You want the power? You have to seek the giver. And it's the presence of Christ. Amen. Now, I'm skipping quickly through that because I want to get to Psalm 84. This really, really blessed me when I read this on Friday. I couldn't believe that I'd never seen this before. But the scripture is a living word, hallelujah. And it speaks different things to us, depending on what we need to hear. Psalm 84 is a wonderful psalm. It's a psalm that I've read many, many times. I've heard people speak on many times, but I've never seen what I saw on Friday as I read this psalm. So you talk about fresh bread, this is as fresh as it comes. Psalm 84, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. Okay, we want to be where God is. Amen. The dwelling place of God, that's where we need to be. That's where our heart needs to be, in the dwelling place of God. And the psalmist here, it wasn't David. The psalmist here cries out, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. He wanted so desperately to be in the presence of God. He says, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Because the psalmist knew that there is no life outside of the presence of God. Amen. There is no life outside of God's presence. Everything that we want, everything that we can dream about, everything that we want to do, everything that we want to fulfill comes out of the presence of God. And the psalmist here says, I've got to be in the presence of God. I've got to be in the courts of the Lord. I've got to be there. And then verse 3, and it was these verses here that really grabbed me on Friday. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Wow. And you've got to use your imagination here. Why did the psalmist say that? Now, I don't know, some of you who are more scholarly than me might be able to tell you whether the psalmist was referring to the tabernacle or the temple. I'm not sure. Whether it was the tent or the thing that Solomon built, I am not sure here. I have to admit, I don't know. If you know, tell me afterwards, and I can put a note in for future reference. Amen. But whether it was the tabernacle or the temple, something had happened here when the psalmist had gone in and he'd stood before the Holy of Holies that represented the presence of God with the people. He stood there and he looked and he saw a bird. And the bird had flown in to the house of God and had made its nest there. See, he's not making this stuff up. You wouldn't make this up. He'd seen something here, and he'd seen the bird, and he'd seen the bird making a nest, perhaps even above the curtain. And the bird had been so impressed with the peace and quiet that it had found in the presence of God, in the temple area, in that tabernacle area, in that area that was set aside, it had been so impressed with the peace and quiet and the safety of it all, that it had said, this is the place, and had built the nest. Amen. Had built the nest. So the sparrow had found a home, and the swallow had built a nest in the presence of God. The birds were smart enough to know that this was the place to bring up the family. Amen. This was the place to be, in the quietness, in the peace of the holy place. And you and I, we need to learn what the birds already know, that there is a peace and a rest, and it's the best place to bring up the family is in the house of God. Amen. Encourage your kids, Christian parents, to be in the house of God. It's the place to be. Oh, glory to God. Even the birds knew it. Because you and I must also have a home for our spirit close to the heart of God, close to the presence of God. Let's continue to read there. Verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. They have set their hearts on pilgrimage. You see, it's the rest with the walk. They pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob, Selah. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. You see, the Lord bestows favor and honor and doesn't withhold the good thing when we're in his presence. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Amen. In his presence. You see, the blessings that we need to function as we ought to flow from being close to him in his dwelling place. In his presence, there is fullness of joy, the Bible says. In his presence. And it's so spoke to my heart there that the sparrow and the swallow had made their nest in that place of peace and quiet. Hallelujah. The place to be today, the place to be, is in the courts of the Lord, in His dwelling place, with Him, enjoying the peace and the quiet, enjoying the presence of God, enjoying His righteousness, allowing Him to just flow over our souls. We used to sing a song many years ago. We've not sung it for, I can't remember the last time we sung it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. We won't do that in Asda. Yeah, Asda consumes an enormous amount of time. Have you noticed this? Amen. And we won't limit it to Asda so Helen doesn't feel bad. Tesco also consumes an enormous amount of time. Things that we have to do. You've got to shop. Amen. You've got to do these things. You've got to fill the car with fuel. You've got to earn a living. You've got to pay that mortgage. But in order to do all these things, we need to have spent time in the dwelling place of the Lord Almighty, where, like the sparrow and the swallow, we can find a place of security and peace to bring up our family in the midst of a mad world that's getting madder every day, in a nation that seems to be bent on destroying every frame of Christian moral ethic. We need to gather together. You know what kept the early church going? The gathering of the saints. You know what kept the underground church going in Russia and the communist bloc, and still does in China? The gathering of the saints. They used to gather in forests so the secret police couldn't find them. That took guts and it took commitment to drive out to the forest or walk out to the forest and to go deep into the forest so that they could gather together. It was the gathering of the saints. That's what kept them going, because they were together in the presence of God, together in the house of the Lord. That's what keeps the secret church going in Muslim countries today, in Saudi Arabia and places like that. The secret gathering of the saints. It's illegal. They're not allowed to do it, but they do it anyway. And they come together as the church of Christ and encourage one another. Hallelujah. And if we want to be successful, both in family life, hear me now, I'm a father, I'll soon be a grandfather, I understand some of this stuff, I've been around a long time. And if we want to be successful in life, family life, in business life, just in life in general, then we need to be close to the heart of God. And we need to be in the house of the Lord. And we need to be where God is moving and strengthening us. We need to be listening for that still small voice. Amen. We don't always need to be looking for the fire and the wind and the earthquake. We need to be finding a place that's close to the altar. Close to the altar. Where the sparrow and the swallow both knew that that was the place to be. And if this morning you're hunger for God has waned, or your hunger for fellowship has waned, and you think, well, I can do this. I don't need that. I don't need that church. I don't need that fellowship. Listen, let me speak directly and absolutely on the line to you this morning. I have heard people over the years who have said, I don't need to go to church. I can be a Christian on my own. Listen, you cannot, because you were not designed that way. Amen. You were designed to be in fellowship. You were designed to be together as the body of Christ, where every joint supplies. Hallelujah. And when we're on our own, I've heard people in the past, I know of one family in particular, I could tell you the name this morning, who said, we don't need to fellowship anymore. And they went off and they started to break bread at home just as a little family group, and they died spiritually. Because it's not the way. God's way is that the people of God come together in his presence, where two or three are meeting in my name, there I am. And when we come together, even if there's only a few of us, then the Lord says, I'm there to bless. I'm there to answer prayer. I'm there to listen. I'm there because that's my house. That's my dwelling place. That's where I want you to be, to dwell with me in my courts. Better is a day in your courts than 1,000 spent elsewhere. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the truth of these words. Lord, the psalmist knew what he was talking about. Lord, Elijah received that revelation. Peter and John had been with you. Lord, these things are all so real. Lord, Mary sat at your feet and just beheld your face and listened to your words. Oh, God, help us to find that place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. Lord, we so need it, and sometimes we so neglect it. Lord, help us not to neglect the gathering of ourselves together, as has become the habit of some. But, Lord, help us to be in your house. Lord, to gather together, to be supplied by one another's faith and one another's love, to pray for one another, to bless one another, to lift one another up. Lord, to be where you are is what we want to be. To walk with Jesus in a place of stillness. And so teach us these things. Bless us, everyone here. Lord, so many away, Father, on holiday today. Bless them each. Lord, again, we just remember Joe before you here this morning, Lord, that he will find that place of quiet rest near to your heart this week. Lord, all is well. Our soul says this morning, all is well. All is well for Joe today. Lord, for any others who are sick or suffering, Lord, from the fellowship here, we pray you'll bless them, keep them, watch over them, lift them up, be the glory and the lifter of their heads. And Lord, we will give you thanks and praise for your grace that will be poured out upon us this week. In Jesus' name. Amen.